Last week we looked at rising hope, hope that would rise. And there was a verse that we talked about from Proverbs 4 where it says about you've got to look at your heart, guard your heart, protect your heart. We're going to go a tiny bit deeper into that today. But maybe at the start of this year you had these big plans, big ideas like you do at the start of every year. And then you remembered, oh no, this is going to be similar to last year. And so I'm going to have to lock things down. I'm going to have to put things on hold. I'm shut down. I'm restricted. But can I encourage you today that God has already seen this time. He's already known this time. And so the promises that he spoke thousands of years ago and that he's still speaking over your life today are still accurate and they're still real. And they are not done away with just because of COVID. So can I tell you that God has a plan and a purpose and a destiny for your life? And so that's what we're going to look at over this next few weeks. And we're going to start today and then we'll do a few parts. Who knows where we're going to get to. But my heart is this, that you would hear from God afresh and that even in restriction, even in lockdown, you would see a season of growth. You would be reminded of your destiny. You'd be reminded of your call. And you'd be reminded of your eternal purposes. And those things never change, no matter the circumstance, no matter what we're facing. And so that's what we're going to look at today. What's my purpose? What's my calling? And what's my eternal destiny? But maybe as you've thought about this before, and maybe you've been thinking about this before, maybe you've never done, you're going to say to yourself, well, look, if we're going to talk about big issues like that, where on earth do you start? Where on earth do you start? My purpose, my destiny, my calling? My gosh, where on earth do you start? And the temptation I think is this, you're going to go to what can I do and what can I love? Now, there's nothing wrong with those questions and nothing wrong with starting there, but I think we can go deeper and I think we can go deeper into the core of us. And so let's get to the heart. Let's get to the serious business of the heart, and that's where we're going to go to. Proverbs 4:23, we read it last week, we're going to read it again today. It says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. We've got to watch over our hearts. We've got to guard our hearts because whatever's in our hearts will define our lives. And so think about this. You could be going after your purpose, your calling, your destiny, but if your heart is no good, you could find yourself going after the wrong things for a lifetime or forever and wondering why you're never truly satisfied or one day looking back going, was this all a waste of time? And maybe it was. So let's go back to the start. Let's go back to where it should be. Let's go back to our hearts because God has got a lot to say about our hearts. And if we protect our hearts, guard our hearts, then suddenly everything that flows from that will do better in our lives. So I know it seems like, oh, can we not just get into what I could do and, you know, the things that I love, but trust me, you're going to save yourself a lot of pain if we can get into your heart stuff, that kind of in behind stuff, the stuff that nobody knows about, those insecurities, those pains, those things that you try to hide away. Trust me, they will always come out eventually. And so let's deal with them now so you can move forward successfully in God and step out into the true call and the true purposes that he has called you to without fear, but within love. So we're going to look at our hearts today. The Bible talks about this word guard, and I don't know what you think about this word when you think about guard, but here's what I think about. I think about like a, you know, security guard. Think about them protecting something. I think about guys in shops or outside of buildings and they're trying to keep people out because there's something precious inside. And this is exactly like our hearts. And the thing about a security guard, they're not easily fooled and they're usually pretty angry. And I think the reason for that is because not that they're necessarily unhappy, but they just don't know who to trust because everybody's a target. Everybody's a person that could be there to fool them. So they stay on high alert. And sometimes that comes out aggressive. And so they're like, no, you're not getting in. And yeah, no, I don't trust you. And I'm not going for that because they've got something worth protecting. And God says, we've got to become like that with our hearts. We've got to become like that with our hearts. We've got something worth protecting, and it's bigger than we know or understand. And I tell you how we really feel it is when things go wrong, and then suddenly it doesn't matter what you do. Suddenly it doesn't matter what your skill sets are. Suddenly it doesn't even matter about your friends. It's your heart is aching and maybe even broken, and you're like, how am I supposed to live? And so that's where we're looking at it today. If you're in that place, then I want to give you hope. I want to give you courage. We're going to look at verses today that will reestablish you. God can redeem you. He can restore you. And if your heart is in that place, then trust him, obey him, give your life afresh to him, and he will restore you and he'll bring your heart back to full health. So what do we do when it comes to guarding our heart? What do we go for? And then what should I guard? Because here's the thing, I'm going to guard my heart and I could guard my house and I could guard my car and I can guard my possessions, but I can see them. I can physically grab a hold of those things. But what do you do with your heart? Like, is it my actions? Well, here's the thing about actions. They're never going to be quite perfect. And the thing is, I think with our actions, and we're talking about fooling ourselves or trying to, you know, make sure are we guarding the right things. I think we know when we do right and we do wrong. And I think when it comes to the things that we think and the actions that we take, then I think, again, in our words, we know when we do things right and we do things wrong. And because they're up and out front, most people will tell us. Most people will correct us. But the thing where the Bible takes it to and where God wants to bring it to today for your life is the motives of your heart. What about the motives of your heart? Why do you do what you do? Like, is there something else going on that we can't see? Because I can see your good works. And Jesus talked about this all day. He says, hey, I can see your good works, but God's going to look at your heart. I mean, I can see why you do it, or in terms of what you do, and I can see how you do it, and I can hear what you say, but what's really going on in your heart? And that's what we want to drill into today, because if we can go to our motives, then suddenly we can get to the heart of the matter, and then we know what to protect. So we've got to protect our hearts in the form of our motives. And I can check your motives, and I can check your actions, sorry, but I can't check your motives because I can't see the way God sees. Here's what Proverbs 16:2 says. A person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. So in other words, your actions can seem good, even to other people. I was like, that was a really good job. That was really cool what you did. And yet inside, you know, I don't know, I don't have a peace on it, or I'm not happy, or you know that you're doing it, so you haven't got a peace on it. But here's what God says. I'm the one that can weigh your motives. I will put your motives literally on a scale, and I'll be able to tell if it's pure or not. I'll be able to tell if it's the right thing, what you're after. And the Bible uses this word that says, it seems pure to them. So we're going to think that our actions are all good. We're going to think that the ways that we go about things are all good. But what will really determine that is our motives. So pure. What does it mean to be pure? It means not to be mixed. It means undiluted. It's like maybe you've got a favorite diluting juice and you take it and you've got to put water into it or lemonade or some other kind of liquid, and that's what will bring it to full life. But God's talking about a purity of heart where you don't need anything else, and your love between him and you is pure, and your love towards the world is pure, and because of that, you're undiluted. There's a pure connection in your actions because there's a purity in your motives, and that's what God's after today, and he can help us to do it. And then, of course, what's your motives? Well, I think it's the reason why you act or behave. It's just the very reason why you do it. So you'll have a reason why you're doing this thing. You'll have a reason why you're saying that. It's the heart behind everything that you do. And so what's the heart behind it? And that's much sneakier. And that can fool us really well. And we can think that we're doing it for the right reasons. And everybody else can think we're doing it for the right reason. But only God can weigh our motives. And so therefore, only God knows our heart. So what are you going to do with your heart? You've got to bring it to God. And you've got to bring it before him. See, the motivation of your heart is serious business. Either it keeps you in freedom or it keeps you in bondage. It either keeps you in freedom or out of freedom. That's the only way it works. Your motivation and the motivation of your heart becomes the things you do, so it becomes the person that you are. And depending on where you're coming from, depending on the motivation of your heart, will be, will I stand freedom or will I stand bondage? Will I go towards more freedom or will I go towards more bondage? And God says, I want you to be free. I want you to know freedom, because it's for freedom that I have set you free. It's for freedom that I have died, said Jesus. And so that's why we're talking about it today, and that's why it's so important. Because here's the thing, you could go after what you love. You could go after what you believe you're called to and even know that you're called to it. But if there's no true heart in it, and your heart is not good before the Lord, and you don't know his call and his destiny, and he doesn't know that your heart is pure and holy, then there's an emptiness to all that you do. And I want us to go long, and I want us to go far, and I want us to go deep into the things of God. And so to do that, we've got to challenge our hearts. So what's the motives of your heart right now? Or why do you do what you do? Let's think about this. And what we've got to do is we've got to do like the fool test, because it's so easy to fool yourself. I've done this so many times. I was like, I was sure I was doing it for this reason. I was sure I was doing it for that reason. And I couldn't see it at the time. I was blindsided. And if anybody asked me why, I'd be like, oh yeah, for sure. Oh yeah, for sure. But then it was afterwards in hindsight, when I got vulnerable, when I got honest, I was able to look back and go, wow, I don't think I did it with the purest of intentions, although my heart at the time seemed like it was there. So we can't fool ourselves. Because it's easy to fool ourselves. And I think we've got to ask ourselves two big questions. Did I do it for God, or did I do it for myself? You know what I'm saying? Did I do it all for him, or was there any of me in this? Because again, that can reveal our motives. Or better than that, or another addition to that is, did I really do it for everybody else, or did I need to do it for myself? Because again, I've done it. A lot of times I've done it for other people, but I've really done it for me. Or a lot of times I've done it for God, but I'm really still needing it for me. There's something in it for me. There's something I'm entangled with. There's something I need because of just an identity issue. And the goal of my life is I move further and further away from doing it because I need it and more because I'm doing it for Him and that I get all my needs from Him. So I'm free from everything else. So if I lose it or can't do it, or I'm not able to do it the way I wanted to do it before, I'm not pulled down because my identity is in Him, and the motivation of my heart is to serve the Lord. The motivation of my heart is to serve others. If the thing changes or I can't do what I can do, so be it. I'm going to continue to serve God. I'm going to continue to worship Him. My motives are true, and that's where God wants to bring us to. We can pretend that we're choosing certain actions for God for the benefit of others, but really God knows our heart, and a lot of the times we're just fooling ourselves. So we've got to bring it before the Lord, and He's got to show us. Hebrews 4:12 says this, and this is how we can flush out a lot of times that selfishness and the selfish reasons. For the word of God is alive and active. And I want us to see this verse because I've looked at this verse loads of times, but when I looked at it earlier, it just convicted my heart so much because of the last part that I don't usually ever see. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. So it gets to the very heart of all the issues. And look at this last part. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Wow. I just never saw that properly before. I was looking at the first part, like the Bible's amazing. It can really help me see the truth. But it's this last part. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. In other words, it sees our motives. Wow. So reading the Bible is not just a good idea. It's a must. And here's again, let me reveal a true motive of my heart. Sometimes I've went to the Bible for what I need to find instead of needing to see something, instead of needing to find more of God, instead of Him searching my heart afresh. So what I mean is I've had an idea and so I need backup to the idea. Or I just need an answer right now, Lord. So I go to the Word because I need to get something that will satisfy me. I need something to fulfill my need. I'm not really after You, Lord. I just need something to help me right now. It's like a wrong motive. And yet it's so close to being good, but I went for my needs instead of God to reveal some things to me. I just needed Him to tick a box for me. I just needed Him to approve something. I just need to find the right reason for the motivation of my heart at this moment to make me feel better or to get me out of jail. But here's what the Bible wants to work like. At times, it's a love letter to the body. Of course, that's it. It tells us how much the Lord loves us. It tells us about His Son. But then there's the times it comes and it's like a mirror to us. And what it does, it sets in front of us. And we read these verses. And I read it right now and it says, it judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. And suddenly my heart feels exposed. Because the Word is active, it's alive, it's a living Word. And Jesus is right there and the Spirit is all over it. And suddenly for that moment, it's like a Word that I never saw before. It exposes my heart and I'm going to go, wow, search me, Lord. I need Your help. I need to see what You see because I didn't go for that Word. I went for a Word for myself, but now I've revealed, something's been revealed to me. And I'm like, wow, I need something totally different. I've got something totally different because the Bible just reveals it's like a mirror. I can get angry at the Bible. I can get angry at God, but it only revealed what was already there. I just wasn't able to see it. Either I knew it or I couldn't see it at all. And so the Bible just brings that mirror to our lives. And we're able to see things. I'm like, wow, I didn't realize that was an issue. Wow, I didn't realize that was such a big deal to God. Wow, I didn't realize that I needed to sort that thing out. And so now I get it. And so now I'm going after this thing. See, I go looking for my needs instead of what needs I have. Instead of allowing the Lord to speak to me. Instead of allowing the Lord to show me. And so here's some wrong motivations. I wrote down a few, and some of them will be relevant to you and some may not be, but hopefully it just gets you to dig deeper into the things of God. Number one is pride. The Bible tells us that pride before a fall or a haughty spirit, it's just like the Lord just resists that. It's like pride in a man's heart, it's just no good. But what about the pride in us? It can be so hard to spot. When I think of my life, I think about times where I was like, no way, I'm not being prideful of this. No way, I don't care. And then afterwards, I look back and I can see it. I can see that stinky pride. I can see why I was so invested. I can see why I was getting so mad. Another one is anger. You ever wonder why sometimes you get so mad at things? I mean, like, no, I have to do this. I don't. You can't do this. this, because I'm so fully invested. I thought I was doing it for the right motivation. I thought I was doing it for God. I thought I was doing this thing. I thought I was in youth for this thing. I thought I was serving for this reason. But really, I was there because of my identity, because I had to do something, because I need to feel better. And God says, I'm revealing your motives. I'm revealing your heart. Watch out if you get too angry. Oh, I'm angry about this. It's a righteous anger. Is it? Or do I need to get to the Bible so the Lord can reveal my heart to make me see that there's a wrong motivation in there? And it only takes one wrong motive to spoil the whole cause. And eventually it all comes down because the enemy's so good. He's so crafty. He finds the place and then he creates a stronghold and he's able to bring us down, even from a worthy cause. Or maybe it's revenge. Revenge for a Christian should never be in our hearts. And yet, let's be real. I'll never talk to her again. No, I'll never be going there again. I'll never do this. In fact, you know what? Good on them. They deserve that. And revenge is there, and pride is there, and envy is there, and malice is there. Even though we say we let go of it, there's still that motivation in our heart, and it's still trying to trip us up. Or let's go deeper, a sense of entitlement. You know, I really deserve this. No, you can't do this. You can't take this from me because I really deserve this. Or I've really worked hard for this thing. You know, you can't take that. This is mine. I earned it. I achieved it. And yet God says, what's the motivation of your heart? The motivation of your heart is you're either living for me or you're living for yourself. There's only two options. So what is it? Or a last one, and I could continue on for ages, but the desire for approval. Ever find yourself doing things not because, or maybe you thought you were doing it for this reason, but really it was approval from someone, or you needed acceptance, or it was just like a cover up for like, I just want people to like me. I just want to fit in. It looks like I'm doing this really worthy cause for everybody else, but I'm really doing it for myself because I really just want to be accepted. What if you're doing things just for acceptance? Can I tell you that God fully accepts you just the way you are, and he knows all your intimate secrets, and he knows all your mistakes, and he knows all the mistakes you will make, and yet he still chose to love you? He's incredible. He's the only one that's worthy of all of us. Everything else wants to take from us, he always gives to us. Can I tell you a story? Here's what I find. We've all got a tendency towards selfishness. A tendency towards selfishness. What I mean, it's like by not being careful or not intentional, we will always go towards selfishness. It seems to just drag us there. It's wrapped up in sin. Now, years ago, we went to the Philippines. Now, I didn't go to the Philippines because of selfish reasons, or at least I hope not. But we went to the Philippines the first year, and it was one of those years where just everything went wrong. We had people on drips in the hospital. They IV drips. They were like fighting to like get hydrated because of the travel. We had a girl that nearly got abducted. We had another person nearly got shot. It was just like this crazy, crazy trip. And in the middle of it, I was like, Lord, we've got to do something that could help someone. We've got to pick each other's spirits up. And so in the middle of it, I come up with this amazing idea. But when I look at it back on it now, I realize I think the first motivation was still me. I still think the first motivation was me. And here's why I say it, because it's like, I want to do something. Now, why do I want to do it? Do I want to pick up the team? Do I want to help the team? Do I want to be there for the team? Or is it because, you know what? I don't want people to say that we wasted all this money and it's your fault. I don't want people to come home and go, Vibe can't even run a good trip. I don't want to come home and say, be like, you know, you went all that place and you didn't even do anything good for God. See, I was worried about what the reputation, I was worried about what people would think, I was worried about what people would say. But at the time, I could not see it. All I was thinking was, let's encourage some people, let's build some people up. It was so subtle. I was so easily fooled. Now, what we did was so fun. But again, I got to be honest, I think I did it more for me than everybody else. So what we said was, let's go out, let's buy a whole bunch of Dunkin' Donuts. We're going to have like a donut party. And it was amazing. And everybody loved it. Now, I know I'm being fun just for a moment, but at the heart of it, it was my motivation first. There was ulterior motives. There was a different kind of thing that was going on. And it's only in hindsight when I look back, that was an innocent thing that the Lord was so grateful on. But I wonder on bigger things in my life. I wonder about bigger things in your life where you're convinced you're doing it for the right reason, but the motives are not quite right. And watch how the enemy's going to strip the joy of it. He's going to build a stronghold, how he's going to pull it down, and you're going to think, what on earth am I doing this for? Or I feel like a total fraud. Let's make sure that the motivation of our hearts are right. Here's what I've found. It's slow drift. You see, I don't think any of us start off with bad ideas, and we start off with humility and passion and zeal, and I just want to do this thing for God, and that's all the motivation of my heart, and he's everything to me, and nothing else matters. And then bit by bit, we start to drift, and things don't go right, and people don't appreciate us right. And before you know it, it becomes a me-focused thing, a me-centered thing instead of a Christ-centered thing. And so we've got to see that. And the Lord wants to reveal that to us because he wants to set us free and take us out of that bondage. In fact, we've got to constantly run checks and pray. Here's what James 4 says, brother Jesus, earthly brother. He says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You see, even what we're praying can be led by the wrong motivations. And if that's the case, we won't get what we pray for because God's such a good God. He's like, I'm not going to give you bad. I'm not even going to give you good. If it pulls you down, then I'm not giving it to you. Now, I'm going to be there for you and I'm going to strengthen you. But it means that we've got to be careful in our prayer life that there aren't motivations in that which are the wrong motives, because we're not going to get the right answers then. So God says, come to me. Let me guide you and let me reveal to you. So here are some specific questions that I want to run over your heart. Don't worry, we're gonna encourage ourselves in just a moment. But I got to keep us in this space where we're being receptive to the things of God. Here's a few questions just to think of. If no one ever knows what I'm doing in terms of what I'm giving or what I'm serving and what I'm sacrificing, would I still do it? These are great questions to ask your heart in terms of, are my motivations correct? Am I doing the right things? Am I doing it for the right reasons? Number two, would I joyfully take a lesser position if God asked me to, or my church leaders? Because I think this is a really difficult one and a really good one to expose our hearts with, because sometimes we're in it for the wrong reasons. And so when we're asked to do something differently or God calls us to something else, we can't let go. Because like, I need this thing. No, you don't understand. And I've been there. And thankfully the Lord dealt with me and I feel so much better because of it. But I've got to watch this every single moment of every single day. Otherwise I can be doing things for the wrong reasons, wrong heart. And then it just becomes empty and flat and there's no life to it. Number three, am I doing this for the praise of others? How does it make me feel? Am I doing this for everybody else or am I doing it for him? Am I doing this because of how I feel or am I doing it for Jesus? Number four, if I had to suffer for what God has called me to, would I continue? Would I continue? If others misunderstand me or criticize my actions, will I stop? Wow, that is a big challenging one. If those who I'm serving never thank me or repay me, will I still do it? Wow. If I don't get any thanks, never, ever, ever will I still continue. If the answer is I would stop, I think at some point we're doing it for the wrong reasons and God wants to reset us. It's not that we're doing the wrong things. God just wants to reset us. He just wants to redefine our hearts. He wants to refocus our hearts. He wants to refine our motivations, because otherwise we're going to get to crash and burn. Otherwise we're going to get to a place of burn out because we started to do it for ourselves, or we started to do it for somebody else or something else instead of doing it for him. Question number eight, do I judge my success or failure based upon my faithfulness to God, or how do I compare to others? This one is crazy. I mean, how many times have you started off with the right motivation, with the right heart, with the right spirit, and you were only doing it for God, and then you see somebody else doing the same thing, you're like, oh my goodness, I am rubbish. It's just like, I am no good compared to them. And what was really good before suddenly becomes tasteless. I mean, can I be honest? I've done this before. I've been like, man, I thought I was doing really good, and now I feel like a fraud because I saw them, and they've been doing it for 6 minutes, and I've been doing it for like 60 years. You know, it's always ridiculous, isn't it? The comparison is always ridiculous. But even when it's fair, even when it's like, oh, like we've been at the same time and we're at the same phase and we've been to the same school and we've had the same life experiences, it's still not right, because God says, are you doing it for somebody else? Or are you doing it for me? If we will stay faithful to him, if we will keep our motivations correct to him, then we don't care what somebody else is like. In fact, you know what? We love them and we spur them on and we're not in competition. We're actually together, and that's the difference. And so that's why we've got to check the motivation of our hearts. So what's the right motivation? Come on, let's just double check this. What's the right motivation? Because we talked a lot about the wrong motivation, and some of this may be relevant to you and some may not be. But here's the right motivation. 1 Thessalonians 2:4. For as we speak as messengers approved by God to be entrusted with the good news, our purpose is to please God. Our purpose is to please God. Our purpose is to please God, not man. He alone examines the motivation of our hearts. See, this is incredible. You see, I'm not here to please man. I'm not here to please anybody else. I'm not even here to please my parents, although that's always a good thing to do. I'm here to please God alone. So therefore, if I'm pleasing God and it doesn't please anybody else, so be it. Am I open for wisdom and correction and constructive criticism? Of course.
But I'm talking about the motivations. Like, what's my motivation? Am I doing it for acceptance? Am I doing it to be liked? Am I doing it to fit in? Or am I doing it for Him? I only want to do it for Him. And so how do we do this? Because I know about you, but sometimes when you go through this stuff, you say to yourself, well, look, how am I supposed to do this? Because it sounds like you've got to be perfect. And that's a lie from the enemy. Perfection talks about our actions. I'm going to talk about being honest. And honest talks about the motivation of our hearts. And it allows us to get vulnerable. It allows us to be open and honest. And it goes like, why am I really doing this thing? Why am I honestly really doing this thing? And so I want to be honest. And here's the thing about God. He wants us to be honest with our sins, honest about our flaws, because He already knows them. And all He's saying is, if you want to keep your motivation right, be honest with me. I already know what you're facing. I already know that you're nervous. I already know that you're scared. I already know that you're doing it for the wrong reasons. Be honest with me. And then I can help you. Then we can work on some stuff. It's when we deny it and we say, well, look, I don't care. I'm just doing this. I'm doing that. We've got to be honest and real with God. And so how does this work out? Works out with two simple prayers. God, help me. And then you can add whatever you want after that. But I want to give you two suggestions. God, help me, because I know the motivation of my heart sometimes is not right. Even with this big calling, even with this purpose, even when trying to run a church, even when trying to see somebody saved, I know the motivation of my heart is not right sometimes. Lord, search my heart. Help me. Or number two, Lord, help me. I don't know my motivations. I'm unsure if I can trust my motivations. Would you reveal it to me? Would you help me? And here's the secret, or here's the key to the whole thing. Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You won't go after your own personal motivations. You won't go after your own ways. You won't compete on the wrong playing field. You will be close to God because the Spirit is in you, and the Spirit will teach you all things, and the Spirit will reveal all things. See, as we walk in the Spirit, God will enable us. He will help us. So, come on, let's get back to where we started. What's my calling? What's my purpose? What's my destiny? Can I even go after this after I've gone into all this heart stuff? Absolutely. And I'm going to give you three final questions to help you. Number one, who am I? We've got to know who we are if we're going to go after our purpose, our calling, and our destiny. We've got to know who we are. Here's what 2 Corinthians 5:20 says. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. Now, remember this. As though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Wow. I'm an ambassador for God. In other words, I represent God. This is who I am. I'm not here for myself. I'm here for Him. And if I'm here, not here for myself, the motivation of my heart is always to glorify Him. My purpose, my calling, my destiny, does it bring glory to God? That's it. That's why I'm here. I'm here for Him, and I'm here for others because He's called me to others. That's my calling. That's my purpose. That's my destiny. It actually doesn't even really matter what the specifics are. I just want to serve Him. I'm an ambassador of heaven. You see, when we become an ambassador for heaven and we recognize this, then I'm here for Him. I'm not here for me. I'm a good steward, not a master. And this is so important because guess what? When I'm an ambassador of heaven and I'm just trying to steward well what God's given me, then it's not about what I want to do. It's not about what I want to do. It's all about what He's wanting to do through me. And so like, you know what? I want to tell you about heaven. I want to tell you about the good news of Christ. I want to tell you about Jesus. I want to tell you that He has good things in your life if you would just turn to Him. And I don't need something from you to help me feel better because I get all my needs met from Him. Amen. That is the good news of the gospel. We've been set free from me so we can only serve Him. I'm an ambassador of heaven. Remember my role. It's not about me. Who am I serving? Who is this for? I tell you, the only time I get in trouble, when I make my gifts all about me. Do you not understand how hard I've worked? Do you not understand? Like, how dare you do this against me? Like, how dare? Like, that's my money. That's my time. That's my stuff. No, like every good gift God's given me. Yes, I might have earned the money, but who gave me the health to earn it? Who gave me the ability to earn it? Yes, I might have given my money and it was used wrong or badly, but you know what? I give it with the right motivation and I give it to the Lord. And so therefore He takes care of everything else. See, I can be fighting the wrong battles. I can be getting in the wrong arguments. I can be thinking about the wrong things. And when I start to think about the wrong things, it can get into my heart. And then the motivation of my heart starts to tweak. I'm like, I'm not going to do that anymore because you know what? This, that, or whatever. The motivation of my heart is I am for Him. I'm an ambassador of heaven. I bring heaven to earth. I bring the good news. I'm here for Him. It's not about me. It is not about me. Number two, what have I got? what have I got? Who am I and what have I got? James 1:17, every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. See, everything that's good in me is from him. Every single thing. I think this is going to fix a lot of our motivations straight away. Because a lot of our motivations are when we get prideful, or when we get attacked, or we get angry, it's because somebody's saying something deep about my inner being, like my identity, or my core values, or my core beliefs, or my core just my stuff. You know, it's like, you can't touch this. You can say anything you want, but don't touch that. And when we get in that place, you can be sure our motivations are stinky. Our motivations are focused on something else, and they're not on Jesus, because it's not about me. Everything I have, he's given to me. So even if you take it and use it for other things, and even if you use me as a doormat, what does it matter? Because God's going to restore me. He's going to give me more. Now, I don't want to be used as a doormat. No, come on, we've got to use wisdom. But there may be times where we feel used. But if we've done it for the right motivation, and we've done it with the right spirit and the right heart, God will reward us. He will answer our cry. He will lift us up. He will be our guide, and he will be our helper. See, the danger is when we start to think, well, you know, it's not mine anyway. You know, it's just God's. We can get lazy with it. We can say, you know what, well, you know, God's given me a lot of ability, but I'm full of fear. That's a legitimate thing. No, can I tell you this? You're a good steward. And to be a good steward, you've got to look after well what God's given you, and you've got to use it. You've got to do something with it, like the parable of the talents. You can't just bury it. You've got to do something significant with it, because God set you up to do significant things. And here's the way I want to challenge you with this. You've got to take responsibility as if it was yours, and act with it as if it was Jesus. You've got to take full responsibility as if that was your thing. It is your ability. It is your possession. But not just for yourself. I'm going to treat it. I'm going to use it. I'm going to do with it as if I was Jesus. Because I know what he's called me to. And so if I want to get good clarity on that and good wisdom of that, I get back into the word. I get back into his presence. Because in other words, my motivation can take over. Like, it's my talent. It's my ability. Now, you've just used me. No, I'm not giving you this for that. No, because this is about me. And we get into a whole mess, because it becomes about us. If we don't stay true to the Creator, those motivations are going to get interlaced with good and bad. And then before you know it, I don't even know what's right. So the Lord needs to expose me. But I take responsibility for it as if it was mine. And I use it as if Jesus would use it, because that's what he's called me to. And so I need his help. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. He's given it to me. He's made me a good steward. I'm going to use it for his glory. And he's going to sustain me. And he's going to help me. Is it always going to be easy? Probably not. Will it be sometimes really difficult? Absolutely. Will it be scary and fearful and anxious and nervous? You're going to be all those things and more. But God is with you. And keep your motivation on him, and keep it true to him. And then the last thing, what can I do? What can I do? Like, what on earth do you do after you've seen and heard all of this stuff today? What on earth can you do? What should I do? What's the right motivations? Well, here's the goodness of God. Psalm 37:4. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Can you believe after all of this, the Lord says, take delight in the Lord, worship him, and then he talks about our hearts, and he says that your heart, I will actually give you the desires of your heart. Wow. I mean, God's so amazing, because he knows how deceitful our hearts can be. He knows how wicked our hearts can be. And yet he still says it's all about your heart. And I trust you, and I'm there for you. And if you would worship me and make worship your number one, I'll give you the desires of your heart. Because guess what? The desires of your heart will be straight and true. The desires of your heart will be just like him, because you're so full of him. Your worship is towards him. Your worship is all about him. And it's nothing of yourself. You see, when we do that, suddenly the desires of our heart become the real thing. And suddenly we go after Jesus because we want to worship him. And then all the things that's in us will come out of us, and it will be a blessing to the people around us. See, God's looking to build a love foundation in our hearts. And if you've lost that, maybe your heart's become hard. Maybe your life's become disillusioned. Maybe you've become hurt. Maybe you're bitter today. Maybe it's just like, yeah, I don't care what you say. I'm just not doing it. Or maybe you're just numb. Can I tell you that the Lord wants to reestablish a fresh love foundation in your heart? Because a hard heart can do nothing. But a soft, vulnerable heart before the Lord will do everything. That's the truth of the good news. That's the truth of Jesus. So if your heart is needing restored, you're in the right place. God's going to do that. What's the desires of your heart? If you're unsure and they can't be trusted, get your worship on Jesus and watch how suddenly your desires will correct and your motivation will come right back into alignment with God, and you will go and do and fulfill all the plans and the purposes and destiny that the Lord has got. Can I ask you a final question? What's your plans, purpose, and destiny? Can I be real? I think if you're with me today, then you've realized, what does it even matter? As long as I'm serving the Lord and following after Him, I don't even really care what happens after that. Because you know what? It's going to be amazing. Because I know as I trust God, He will give me the desires of my heart, because my desires will be His. And so all I've got to focus on is worshiping Him, following after Him, making Him number one. And He will bring me into new businesses, new ideas. He will help me here. He will help me there. He will bring me into all the things. And guess what? I'll just be the first to see it. I'll just be the first to get there. Can I be super honest? I was not after this as a life. I was not looking to follow after Jesus in this sense, in this calling. I thought, you know what? I'm going to follow after God. I'm going to make a load of money. You know, I'm going to have a load of stuff, and it's all going to be amazing. And I'm going to keep away from pain, and I'm going to stay in the strip line of life, and I'm going to do all these incredible things I have planned and I desire. And then guess what? God messed it all up, and He says, no. If you're going to come after Me, I'm going to break you. If you're going to come after Me, I'm going to restore you. I'm going to realign your heart, and watch out. Suddenly, the things you really wanted, you're not going to care about anymore. I used to love football. That's all I dreamed about. Now I'm like, I still like it, but it's not everything I dream about. I used to love this thing and that thing, and it was all I dreamed about. Now I still like it. I still feel good at it. I still want to do some things, but you know all I'm living for now, with God's help, is Him. He's the only one that I want, because the things that I thought that I really wanted, I'm so glad I didn't get, because they wouldn't have given me the satisfaction. They wouldn't give me the peace. They wouldn't have given me what I needed and what I thought they would. Only Jesus could. So please, come to the Lord today. Realign your heart and allow Him to bring transformation. Come on, we're going to pray. Lord, I thank You for every heart that's tuned in. I thank You for every life. Lord, I pray today for anybody who's far from You, anybody who doesn't know You, Lord, that they will turn their heart afresh to You. Let all pride go, all revenge go, like just all anti-God go, whatever it might be that would stop You. Let it all slip away and come before a God who loves You and wants to redeem You and wants to forgive You and wants to transform You. Lord, I pray for that today. Lord, I pray right now for anybody who needs You, that they would say yes to Jesus and that their sins would be forgiven in an instant. And right now, Holy Spirit, You would empower them, make them that new creation that You've promised, and allow them to follow after You. Jesus, I pray right now for anyone needs fresh salvation, or anybody that's never known You, will say yes to You right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray today for those that are Christians, those that are following after God. Lord, maybe we don't even realize our motivations. Maybe we're not even sure of our hearts. Lord, I pray, who can know our hearts? Only the Lord can weigh our motives. I pray right now, Lord, we bring it before You and we'd say, Holy Spirit, would You help me? Holy Spirit, would You enable me? Holy Spirit, would You reveal to me the things that I'm battling, the things that I'm going through, and I need Your help. Lord, I pray for the call and the purpose and the destiny that's in all of our lives. But let us know this, if we put Jesus first and we follow after You, then everything else will fall into the place, and it will be so much better than we could ever possibly imagine or dream. Lord, I pray that You are number one and that You're all that we're living for, and we are no longer living for ourselves. All I'm living for is the kingdom of God. Lord, thank You for every life. Thank You for every person. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that You would pour out Your peace, Your comfort, Your incredible good news, and Your love on every heart right now. In Jesus' name, amen.